Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
Pastor Jerry Burns, welcome to Timeless Truths. radio ministry. And glad that you joined us for our program this Lord's Day. Well, the weather's starting to get colder. We would assume that winter is just around the corner. I told my wife just the other day, I don't mind the winter months. It's the cold and the snow that I'm not fond of. But, you know, it's, I don't know. It just seems like winter, summer went so fast and winter's here already. It's incredible how fast time goes. You know, the Bible teaches us this biblical principle that our life is a vapor, appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And it's incredible how fast time kind of just slips away from us. I want to just, before I get into our Bible study this morning, I want to look at a prayer request I received from a good friend of mine, and it's for the Wesco family. They're missionaries to West Africa, only 2 weeks on the mission field, and the father was shot and killed while driving to town. 8 children they have. Some of those children are stranded in their home. And the wife, the mother, cannot get to them, and they do need our prayers. So if you could remember to pray for the Wesco family, I know that they would truly appreciate it. And the husband, the father, is with the Lord now, and a real difficult circumstance. We know God's grace is sufficient, and he's able to give us the help and the strength that we need to get through. But if you could pray and ask God's blessing and God's grace to be very evident in that situation. I also want to invite you, if you are in the KW area and you want to come to church or your children want to come to church, we have an exciting children's program for children of all ages, and we have free transportation to get to the house of God. We have a bus ministry that has been picking up boys and girls for, I'm thinking over 20 years. The opportunity is there. It's free of charge. And if you want to be picked up by the church bus, then give us a call, 519-579-2236, 519-579-2236. We'd love to be able to pick you up and bring you to church. We pick up boys and girls and moms and dads and those who cannot or unable to drive into church. We bring them in, and it's a great blessing to be able to have this ministry. And we've had this ministry again for many years, and God has provided for that need, and we're so thankful for it. All right, we are looking at the book of 1 Timothy. It's our study, and we've looked at the office of the bishop and what the Bible has to say about the office of the bishop. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 4:11 and verse 12 that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says, let the elder that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So there's three titles that describe the pastor. There's the shepherd, which we get our word, the pastor, and there is the overseer, the bishop, or the elder, the presbytery, and all of these describe the same office, and that is the pastor or the under-shepherd. And we talked about the fact that this is a God-given desire. And we talked about the fact that it's a good work. We said that it's an ordered work. God has a work for the pastor to do. And then we talked about the qualifications, that he's to be blameless, the husband of one wife. He's to be a man that's vigilant and sober. He's to be of good behavior, he's to be a gentleman, not looking to harm or hurt, but kind and gentle. He's to be one given to hospitality. He's able or capable of teaching, apt to teach. He's one not given to wine. This speaks of the behavior associated with wine as well, spoken of what takes place by or over wine. And Proverbs 31, verses 3 to 5, teaches us that someone of influence is not to be a person of wine. Wine is not for those of influence. A pastor is not to be a striker. The thought there is one that throws punches. He's not to be greedy of filthy lucre. His foundation of life is not to be for gain. He's to be patient. He's to be gentle. He's not to be a brawler, not someone that follows after contention or someone trying to always start a fight. I know people like that who's always trying to start a fight. He's not to be covetous, the one that loves silver and money, and he's to rule his house well. It means that he's to be a serious man within the home. He's to be serious-minded. To rule within the house is, the Bible also says that if he cannot rule within his home, then how is he going to rule within the church of God? How is he going to be able to rule the house of God? And so he's to order his house. He's to keep his house in order. He's not to be a novice. This is one who has newly come to the faith. A new Christian should not be a pastor. And the reason the Bible says is because he can come into the same condemnation that destroyed the devil. That's pride. And so he's to be one who is not a novice. And then we know the devil wants to influence the church and destroy the church. And so in verse 7, Paul brings it all together and says, you know, a pastor is to have a good name, a good report to those who don't know the Lord. So a pastor is to be one who is obviously one in the community that is beyond reproach and has a good name to those who don't know the Lord. So that is the pastor. Now, remember, we're looking at in this section is how to behave yourself in the house of God. And so now that we looked at the pastor, we want to take some time this morning. We want to look at what the Bible has to say about the deacon. Now, the word deacon the thought here, deaconos, means through the dirt. Deco means to run on errands. It means to serve. The very premise of a deacon is to be a servant. Okay, now Jesus taught this to us in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 26. Jesus said, "But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve." Diakono, to serve, a deacon. This is the very office of a deacon that is present within the local church, or ought to be present in the local church. Now, if you have your Bibles, look at the book of Acts and the sixth chapter. The book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 2, we really have the foundation of the early church and the need of deacons. Acts chapter 6, verse 2, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we shall appoint over this business. but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenius and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. So the very foundation of the local church was there was a need, and instead of the pastor leaving the word of God and leaving his prayer time to serve, they established the first deacon, the first deacons. And one of those deacons was a man named Stephen, who we know fulfilled the office of a deacon, but also was one of the first martyrs of the local church. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So deacons are not to take the oversight of the church. This is not their role. They're not to be the overseer, but they're to be the servant. They're to serve alongside of the pastor so that the pastor can fulfill his God-given calling, or his primary calling, and that is studying the word of God and prayer, as it says in verse 4 of Acts 6, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so as Baptists, we believe in two church offices. We believe in the pastor and we believe in the deacon. Now if a church doesn't need a deacon, then they shouldn't have a deacon. It's not that you need a deacon to be a local church, but a deacon was chosen when there was a need. So we need to remember that as well. So the Bible gives us qualifications for the deacon because the deacon's going to have influence. Okay, and so we need to have some qualifications. You can't just use anybody. You need to make sure that they follow the qualifications. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the very first qualification of a deacon is that they need to be someone who is serious-minded, men who inspire respect, men who are honest at their job, men who are honest in their home, men who are honest in the community, grave, serious-minded, not double-tongued. The thought they're double-tongued means speaking the same thing twice, saying one thing and meaning the other. The example would be Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, when Ananias and Sapphira said one thing, but they lied. They were withholding truth. They were speaking of doubt and not of faith. So that's what it means to be double-tongued. In James chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible makes it clear that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The Bible says he's not to be given to much wine. Now, this is not affirmed that it would be proper for a deacon or any more than a bishop to indulge in the use of wine in small quantities. But it is affirmed that a man who is much given to the use of wine ought not on any consideration to be a deacon. Now, when you study the Bible, even the heathen priests on entering a temple did not drink wine. The use of wine and of strong drinks of all kinds was absolutely prohibited to the Jewish ministers of every rank. When they were about to engage in the service of God, Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 9 teaches us all about this. And so why would the church of God be okay? Why would the church of God be any different? So what it's saying in this passage of scripture is that a man who is given to much wine should not be chosen or should not even be considered to be a deacon of the church. He's not to be guilty of a filthy lucre. The reason why this qualification was important is that the deacon would be entrusted many times with the funds of the church, and so the deacon is not to be one that's motivated by greed, motivated by money. I heard the story of a city boy named Kenny who moved to the country and bought a donkey from an old farmer for $100. And the farmer agreed to deliver the donkey the next day. And the next day, the farmer drove up and said, "Sorry, son, but I have some bad news for you. The donkey died." And Kenny replied, "Well, then just give me my money back." And the farmer said, "I can't do that, son, because I already spent it." And Kenny said, "Okay, then just unload the donkey." And the farmer asked him, "Well, what are you going to do with him?" And Kenny says, "Well, I'm just going to raffle him off." And the farmer says, "Well, you can't really raffle a dead donkey." And Kenny said, "Sure, I can." And so a month later, the farmer met up with Kenny and asked him what happened with that dead donkey. And Kenny said, "Well, I raffled him off. I sold 500 tickets at $2 a piece and made a profit of $900. And the farmer said, "Well, did anyone complain?" And Kenny said, "Well, just the guy that won, so I gave him his money back." This would make a horrible deacon. You know, a deacon cannot be motivated by greed. A deacon cannot be motivated by money or fame. But he's to be filled with the Spirit of God, and his desire is to be one that glorifies the Lord Jesus. How many churches have crashed to the ground because of money? Because of money. The Bible says that money is the root of all evil. If you take all of the wickedness and evil and you go deep into the ground to find that root, you're going to find that the root of evil and wickedness is always money. That's impressive. That's scary. So money is destructive. Jesus said the deceitfulness of riches. So a deacon cannot, you know, who has influence in the church, a deacon cannot have, cannot be motivated by money. Verse 9 says that they are to hold the mystery of the faith. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, mystery speaks of a truth that was once hidden and is now revealed. And though the deacon is not a preacher, yet he has influence and example. And you know, the deacon can be a preacher. I mean, Stephen obviously was a preacher. So his influence has to be spiritual influence. He has to hold to the truths of the Bible. And if he doesn't hold to the truth of the Bible, then he shouldn't be chosen for that office. Notice verse 9. This is to be done in a pure conscience. So not only in words, but also in heart. You know, we can often fit in that orthodox mold where we say the right things and we pretend to know the right things. But what about our heart? I love what Barnes said. He said he can be professly firm in the belief of the truths of Revelation and yet be corrupt at heart. And so Jesus taught us that he's concerned about our heart. What we say comes from our heart, Jesus taught us. Verse 10, and let these also first be proved. So office or no office, a deacon should be chosen as a deacon because they are already fulfilling that role. Okay. Whether or not they're a deacon or not, they should be fulfilling that role. A deacon should be one who is, you know, a servant, obviously, that that is a servant now. It's not like you're going to find someone, make him a deacon, and he's going to start serving. That's not going to happen, right? They're already serving. They're already proved. They're a deacon because they have already proved that they are a servant, and they serve within the context of the local church, and so. You know, this is why that they are chosen. They have a good character. They have a good, they are a good example. They follow the word of God. They desire to teach and to know the word of God. And so this is what the Bible says. They must first be proved. In Acts chapter 6, the Bible says, look out seven men of honest report. Well, they were already men that were proven among the congregation. Okay.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's word that will make a difference in our lives. And yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.